what's happening, what's going on in Sharkland. This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Two episodes back, we talked about white sharks and eye contact, and since then I got some emails regarding that podcast. So today I would like to answer some of these questions and dive a little bit deeper into eye contact connection, or how we also call it, the link. The main issue was, if one can get this eye contact, should one remain in a cage? Remember, we talked about white sharks. Well, it's not that easy, since a cage is rather large, and for a white shark, it is not just the live animal, us, in the cage, that matters, but the entire structure, which of course can create some galvanic currents or other influences. So when you want to get the full picture, you need to get out of the cage. And that's currently not the easiest thing to do. Mind you, if you don't feed a white shark, then of course by all means you can jump in whenever you get them. But if you go to these places like Guadalupe Island or Farallon Islands, whatever, it's just not possible. Another question was, how much of that connection is just imagined? Well, that's a good one, since we cannot really measure such connections. But one thing's for sure, if you're out there without a cage and the shark is starting to get that close that you can see the eye moving, there's just this feeling that can't be explained. And the funny thing is, people realize that or get that impression very quickly. Don't get me wrong, it matters what kind of size the shark is. The larger shark is, the closer it gets. It can get quite overwhelming, and maybe just think we see something. But what speaks against it is that the same thing also happens with smaller sharks. So you don't really just have to watch a white shark, you can get it with a Caribbean reef shark as well. With them, of course, you reach a point where something happens. This is something. What is it? I plan to do some related research experiments this summer, and then I hope we know. Then there was the question of where to go in order to swim with white shark outside a cage. Well, there's no place where you can say, well, you just sign up and you can jump in. But I would say South Africa right now is still the best area where you actually could try. Then I was asked if there is a difference between males and females. And that's actually a good one. Yes, there's a big difference. I have to admit that I feel more comfortable with females, be it that the majority of the encounters were with females, or I just project that into these animals, since at my main site, Take a Beach, we pretty much only have females. Of course, it really matters if you have like a 5-meter or 18-foot white shark compared to a 10-footer male. Yes, the female is much more intimidating. But at the same token, she seems much more relaxed than the male. The male swims faster. So, I mean, I have to leave it up to you what you really prefer. But the majority of students that took our classes, they admit that they were more comfortable with females. Nevertheless, let's go back to the white sharks. Why are these sharks so special when interacting with them? Is it because they're the largest sharks out there, which is not really true. We have some very, very large tiger sharks that have been caught, but most of the time the white shark is bigger. Or is it because they just have such a feared reputation? Or is it because of the movie? Well, what is it? I guess it is all of it. Sharks, and white sharks in particular, unite all basic fears of humans. Coming from below, coming from the dark, being able to eat us alive, touching our legs, and so on. Of course, a small shark can do all that, well, with the exception of eating us. But you know what the funny thing is? There's not one incident where we could have assumed that the shark ate the person. And here's something else that I think is really important. There's no shark out there who actually wants to hurt us. Yes, we have sometimes some incidents where the wounds are rather deep, but for a shark, it's not that he's mad at us and wants to get us. It is most of the time exploration. So for a shark, the concept of hurting us does not exist. Anyway, whenever we teach our intro workshop, Shared Human Interaction 1, we ask participants each evening before we start the lecture, what did they sense when facing a shark? And the surprising part was, or is, that they sense all the stuff I just mentioned from the get-go. But you know, I believe that this mental connecting through our eyes, this link with another creature, is the same with our pets. All it needs is passion and time, and you will get there. Remember when you got your first doggy and he did something and you couldn't figure it out what it meant? Then after 1 month of interacting with the animal and giving the doggy time to explain or make us understood its body language, and all of a sudden it made sense. And when he then started looking to animal's eyes, this link, that's exactly what it's all about. Can you accept that? Well, or do you need some more convincing? If you have to be convinced, well, it will take much more time, since then you have to basically learn the body language as well. So just getting the eye contact is basically a shortcut. You look in the eye and you get the impression, well, it feels relaxed, it's a little hesitant, cautious, whatever, but the same thing actually is expressed in the body language as well. So, granted, there are sharks that are easier to understand, others are more tricky. But if you get the basic features of the body language, then you can hang out with pretty much every shark, and the emphasis here is pretty much every shark. There are always sharks that are not comfortable with us and would not really come close, and that's just that. They won't come close. So you should focus on the ones that dare to get close, with one exception, of course, the brawlers. The brawlers is pretty much the same thing. Like, there's a, you know, you go to a bar and there's a guy with cauliflower ears and scars. It's a guy you give a beer so he leaves you alone. And some of these sharks have a lot of scars, and not from seals, but from fighting with other white sharks. And those sharks have sometimes very low threshold to get closer. And all the intention is basically the same, to get to know us. They can be very intimidating. Whenever I have one of those, a brawler, I won't interact with it. It's not that the animal would be dangerous, so, but you have a most right in your face, and that's not the way I like to interact with a shark. I like to have a little distance, I mean, close distance, but a little distance. So how about the sharks that stay further away? Are they just shy or insecure or even scared of us? Well, it seems all of the above. But the good thing is, very often, they're still intrigued of what we are. And they can come closer. When I have one of those and like to get closer, what I normally do is get away from boats or other people so they can single me out. That way, it's just me, the shark, and the surroundings. And the shark doesn't really have to get used to many other things like a boat or whatever. We should never forget that you may encounter a shark, and it is this shark actually sees a person for the first time. And being a predator, just rushing in and checking you out, is not a common trait for sharks or any other predator. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.